Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Global Lehman 2016 first quarter financial results conference call. Today's speakers will be Mr. Mehmet Kucman, Chairman, Emre Sayın, CEO, Alper Demircan, Deputy CEO, Ferda İdil, CFO. I will now hand over to your host, Mr. Mehmet Kucman, Chairman. Sir, please go ahead.
Good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are, everybody. I would not define myself as the host like the operator defined me. I'll just define myself as an introductory person to introduce our new CEO, which I'm very proud and happy. Emre Bey has joined our team, how long ago? Few weeks ago.
Few weeks ago.
Few weeks ago. As you all know, we had a rather unpleasant, let's say, journey about a year ago, post the issuance of the Eurobond trying to become public. One of the things we promised the cruise terminals into the new era of what I define as a cruise terminal should be more sexy and attractive than an airport, because airports we always rush, and most of the time airports are used for business, whereas cruises, nobody uses a cruise terminal for business. It's completely a pleasure thing. Emre Bey, due to his background, his primary responsibility, of course, is to get a structure and an organization, which I'm very bad at it, as most of you know, to the company, but most importantly, to bring the added value in all our cruise terminals, which we all have promised during the roadshow to equity investors especially. He has a background. He's a graduate of Rutgers and Princeton, if I'm not wrong.
That's right.
In systems engineering. For quite a long period, he's been working on the retail side of the business from telecom industry to Kodak. A very good background on IT technology as well as the retail business, which is the crucial parts of Globalport's full integration as the largest cruise port operator in the world. Having said that, I'm going to relay to him to give the opening marks and the opening numbers, followed probably by Alper Bey, who's going to go to details, and Ferda Hanım, who looks to me very happy with her first quarter numbers. Emre Bey?
Thank you very much, Mehmet Bey. Hi, everyone. As you know, it's only been a few weeks, so I can't say I'm in total grasp of all the details of the numbers, but thanks God I have my team here with me. I'm just going to give you the overall numbers, the executive summary, and leave it with Ferda Hanım to go over the details of financials. First quarter of 2016 is actually a very good quarter for us. The passenger numbers grew almost 12% compared to last year. This, of course, includes the Valletta port. Without taking Malta into consideration, the passenger numbers grew 6.9%. We are also seeing a recovery in our commercial operations. We are up 4.1% from last year, same quarter, and that helps us with improved revenues, 1.6% based on last year comparing apples to apples, and 7.2% with actual numbers in terms of revenues. You will realize that the cruise revenue is up by 44%, although this is not a very strong quarter for cruise side of the business. Most of the EBITDA and revenue in this quarter actually comes from commercial operations. When we actually look at the EBITDA numbers, the numbers are quite good. In terms of the cruise EBITDA, we are up by 59% versus last quarter. and consolidated EBITDA is up by 14.5% from last year. That's 340 basis points. Of course, you know, the unrest in the Eastern Mediterranean has been taking its toll in terms of the visits to the ports in the Eastern Mediterranean. But we have had some luck in making up for those numbers in Q1, and the overall results actually give us a positive outlook into the year and into our annual plan. So at this point, I want to turn it over to Ferda Hanım to go over the details with you.
Thank you, Emre Bey. As Emre Bey pointed out that Q1 is the lowest season of the year, both cruise and commercial business, considering the high seasonality effect in the cruise port in Mediterranean, especially at the Turkish ports. But thanks to our well-diversified cruise network, according to pro forma Q1 2015 numbers, GPH managed to increase total cruise passengers 6.9% year-over-year and reached the 504,000 passengers in Q1 2016. If you compare the same period, eliminating the Malta effect, the percentage of the increase reached 11.8% level in the passenger numbers. In the commercial side, as we explained in the at the year-end presentation, after five quarters declines due to stress on marble export to China, recovery period started for the throughput of the port activities since Q3 2015. The increase in TEU throughput of port activities realized 5.4% the highest growth rate in TEU of port activities in the last nine quarters. In the light of these explanations, despite the seasonality effect in both cruise and partially commercial segment, GPH managed to maximize revenue and EBITDA creation. I would like to announce with a glad pleasure that Q1 in 2016 registered as the highest first quarter ever in terms of both revenue and EBITDA side. According to the Q1 results, total revenue reached 18.5 million US dollar in 2016 first quarter, 7.2% higher than previous year actual figures. And EBITDA realized 10.9 million is 10 point over the, higher than the last year Q1 figures. As a result of segment EBITDA margin increased 58.5%. Main drivers of the strong Q1 financials, improvement of the marble export. Port Athens marble export increased 23.7% in Q1 2016 compared to Turkey's marble import increased 7.1% of the same period. 20% of TL depreciation against the US dollar, which is translate into the 5% approximately 5% increase in EBITDA. Expansion passenger base through organic growth, mainly driven by Port of Barcelona, as well as tariff adjustment, and Valletta cruise port acquisition can explain the as the drivers of the positive effect. I can say that the Prato effect is very minimal in this quarter. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Thank you, Ferda Hanım.
So, Arkan, do you have anything to add?
Nothing to repeat the question.
Yes. So that was a summary. But if you have any questions, we are here to answer them and go a bit more into detail.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start our Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding, and we have our first question. Our first question is from Rodney Tamon from Apollo. Please go ahead.
Could you give us an idea on the Venice acquisition, just the upfront cost, upfront cash out the door, and what you expect to spend on it in terms of CapEx for the first year?
I guess I'm the one who has to answer that question. First, it's not closed yet, and the closing of it is subject to probably a zillion preemptive rights from every single shareholder at every single level. It's not easy to do business in Italy. It's probably more difficult than Turkey. For sure, Venice is more difficult than Turkey. But to get back to your question, so far, GPH committed, correct me if I'm wrong, 5 million euro as an equity contribution. The total transaction acquisition cost will be anywhere from 37-45 million euro, depending on the percentages. The goal is to basically acquire 51-63, up to 67%-69% of Venice Cruise Port in the consortium of five members. Right now, we have each holding 20%. So the consortium members are Royal Caribbean, Carnival Cruise, MSC, ourselves, and Savé, which is the owner of Venice Airport. So it's a five-way consortium. We will each commit 20% of the total cash. Having said that, the financing is readily available both from UniCredit and/or Intesa, probably up to full amount of it, although we don't have direct exposure to the asset base because of the members of the consortium. The banks are happy to finance the whole deal. There's no CapEx for the first year. There's no CapEx for the second year. The duration of the concession is 8 years. But recent discussions with the Prime Minister, Prime Minister Renzi, as well as Transport Minister, certainly makes us, as consortium members, hopeful that the concession will be extended to probably 30-40 years in return of the development of Port Marghera, part of the port, which is a substantial development. But again, Venice, as some of you might know, is a higher number of turnaround passengers than Barcelona. So it's a very, very profitable port. To give you an idea, last year they generated about 9 million euro of EBITDA, if I'm not wrong.
With a top line of 32 million.
9 million euro of EBITDA with a top line of 32 million euro. So it's completely mismanaged. It's very political. It's a good acquisition, but it will not put any strain on the numbers of GPH because most probably full financing, at least for the initial acquisition of 35-45, will be available. Then an extension and a CapEx, that's to be discussed in the next 5 years, not now.
Could we expect to see EBITDA margins there eventually similar to the other cruise ports?
Yeah, well, that's the goal. That's the aim. But again, that's Italy. It's political. Initially, the model that the team of GPH did in cooperation with all the cruise lines shows an EBITDA margin of around 50%-55%. So we should aim for that at least. Whether we get there or not, I don't know.
So it means that around doubling the existing EBITDA.
May I ask a question, just a general question about the other cruise ports? Just generally speaking, for this year in the Western Mediterranean ports, are you raising per passenger charges? Are you able to do that?
We did in some of them, and we will moving forward. 2016 tariffs are already set. Usually, tariffs are set 1 to 1.5 years in advance, maybe even 2 years. So the tariff increases got into effect in Malta and Lisbon. Barcelona, we're applying for a tariff increase this year. Most probably it's going to be applicable in 2017 or 2018, but we're not too hopeful there. But I don't know, we'll see, it's political. So this year there's no tariff increase on any cruise port. The increases will come into effect, if any, in 2017.
And this applies to Port of Dubrovnik. Once we acquire it as well, there's going to be tariff increases as opposed to its current tariff.
Do cruise operators typically, are they surprised or not surprised, I should say, when they see similar, I mean, are they expecting to see tariff equalization or, you know, convergence on tariffs, or do they generally ascribe a higher, do they think the that there should be great divergence based on the popularity of the port?
Well, that's a very good question, as a matter of fact. It's a very, very good question. Our goal is to have a convergence on the tariffs. Right now, there's no such convergence. Of course, the popularity and the occupancy of the port is a crucial matter, because if you do a correlation between the number of ships ordered, the number of berth available moving forward, practically all our crucial, what we call as marquee ports, will be fully occupied on minimum 4 days out of the week, out of seven. And for one reason or the other, all of them wants to come to the same port, same days. So convergence of the tariff eventually will happen, but that will require a lot of work. And the company, that's one of the reasons Emre Bey is on board, the company needs to go to dynamic pricing for busy days, higher tariff, lower days, lower tariff, and things like that.
Bundles, probably.
And bundles. The cruise companies, because of this Venice, that's why it was very relevant and very important, because the whole acquisition process is run by chairmen and CEOs of those companies. They are day-to-day involved in every single negotiation. So that consortium, that joint venture, basically helped us tremendously strengthening our relation with the cruise lines, and they are fully aware that the tariffs eventually will converge. Yes, they are very sensitive about the tariff, but at the end of the day, tariff is just a very small fraction of their overall cost, and these days they're printing money, so they're quite happy.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for answering my questions.
And you
Ladies
asked
and
one
gentlemen, it. Please go ahead, sir.
I was asking the name of the gentleman who was asking these questions.
It's Rodney Thomas from Apollo.
Okay, Rodney, thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we've got our next question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no further questions. Sir, back to you for the conclusion.
Operator, maybe we should give you more time. There's 26 or 28 participants. It's surprising to have one single question, especially from an institution who directly or indirectly controls a cruise liner.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have a question. Please introduce yourself.
Yes, hi, my name is Ben Rumley from Carvalho. How are you?
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Hi, good, good. No, I'm just wondering, there seems to be a seasonality effect. Would it be right? Because the EBITDA in the first quarter is $10 million. You know, can you just explain about that, seasonality impact?
The seasonality impact, of course, is tremendous, especially on the cruise side. Your basically OpEx is, and you employ the same number of people, whether it's security or management-wise, but you have hardly any cruise calls because the season starts picking up in probably towards July, August, and the peak of the cruise season is August, September, October, and part of November. In the Mediterranean, that's the peak. So there's a serious seasonality impact on the cruise side. That's why the EBITDA margin will probably go, I don't know how much it is now, 30-40%. It will go all the way to 70-75% by full year. That's one part of the seasonality. The second part is on the commercial side also. The Antalya port especially, the peak of the season is again the third quarter and part of the fourth quarter.
The only higher season during the off seasons in İzmir, Port of Lisbon and Malaga, those two ports would be, I would say, hedging the seasonality of the larger ports and Turkish ports. So when it is high season in Turkish ports and Mediterranean Adriatic ports, it is low season in, I would say, transatlantic ports, which are Lisbon and Malaga.
If you look to 2015, the same EBITDA number, I'm just looking at the presentation, for the first quarter last year was 9.9, if I'm not wrong. This year is 10.9. So there's a 10% improvement over last year. First quarter is, although Fed Adam said it's the highest number, but quarter on quarter basis, it's the lowest number for the full year.
Yeah, last year the margin for the first quarter was around 42%. This first quarter we recorded a margin, the EBITDA margin of 57%, so there's an improvement on that front as well.
Okay. And, you know, you have a one sentence here about export to China. So is a large part of the increase of 5%, is that as a result of the exports to China?
That's one of the reasons, not the sole reason. There's two components. One component, again, I'm referring to the presentation, the marble export to China from the port of Antalya has increased by 27%, whereas the total Turkish marble export increased only by 7%. That's one reason. The second reason, of course, other goods and products, especially import side, also increased. So all those things combined, basically resulted in an increase of the TU compared to quarter on quarter, plus of course the tariff increases, which they averaged, I think, a yield over $195 per TU for Antalya standalone, if I'm not wrong.
Okay, so it's basically a large part of it is the import revenue then. The importation volume, I should say.
I wouldn't define as import. It's a combination, I would define. There's three components.
Right.
Increase in marble exports, increase in import, as well as increase in tariff. Three components. I don't know which component is what percent or the largest. That we need to check and get back to you.
Okay. And can I just get a sense of what the tariff increase was, please?
I think it went from on average 180 something to 197 average TU.
7%, right?
8% tariff increase.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I'm not as familiar with the cargo container. For cruise, you negotiate directly with your cruise operators. But for tariffs of cargo, whether it's dry bulk or a container, how is that set? Is it something that you get an increase every year from the government, or do you negotiate it with your customers?
The tariff, whether it's a cruise port or a commercial port, in Turkey, we are free to set our tariff without any governmental blessing or approval process. Then it becomes a negotiation between the shipping lines, the importers, and the exporters. So you declare your tariff, and from that tariff, sometimes you give a discount, sometimes you don't give a discount. Usually we declare a tariff increase over 10-15%, and then with negotiations, it came to around 8% tariff increase for the port of Antalya. In the ports outside Turkey, the tariff increases are not subject to government approval, but are subject to government's kind of ceiling. So you can increase the tariff up to a certain ceiling, but again there you negotiate, of course, with cruise line on a standalone basis. Again, you declare your tariff a year in advance, and then the cruise line says, hey, gentlemen, you increased by 50%, what's going on? You need to cut this down to 10%. So it's a, you know, scratch my back, I'll scratch your back kind of scenario, a bilateral discussion.
Right. And my last question is, you also alluded to this, but the port tariffs are a small percentage of the cruise line's cost. Can you give me a sense of what that is?
3 to 4% of the overall cost, including pilotage, including marine services.
Yeah.
And as opposed to airlines, you know, the airport fees are around 20 to 22%, so this is basically a really minor part of their cost base.
So if you do a yield study, cabin yield versus passenger yield or seat yield compared to the airlines, we are at only 3 to 4% of the overall yield cost, whereas on the airline industry it's around 20 to 22%.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We've got another question. Please introduce yourself.
Hello?
Your line is open.
Hello, this is Ryan Lacy from Averon Asset Management. I have one follow-up on the commercial volumes in Antalya port. So if I understand that basically the marble exports or marble-related volumes increased by the 24% roughly, and the overall volumes were up slightly above 5% year-on-year. So if I recall correctly, then Marber still formed over half of your total volumes. This would kind of give me impression that non-Marber volumes actually declined in first quarter in year-on-year comparison. Is my logic correct? And if so, then what drove it?
Very good question. That comes from the decrease in the general and bulk cargo. So general and bulk cargo decreased. I would refer you, to, unfortunately there is no page number on this, I think, but I think it's on page 10. Refer to page 9 and 10, if I'm not wrong, on the presentation. You see that general and bulk cargo are down by 14%. You see that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. But is there any specific reason why the general and bulk volumes are declining? I don't know. Demand for some kind of commodity has decreased, or what is driving those volumes currently?
One, of course, is the cement and the famous Arab Spring, which keeps going down and down further. That's one thing. And also cement prices are kind of picked up. That's one of the reasons, basically, the cement being the core reason. The other reason, of course, the commodity prices being down so much, exports of other commodities, mining commodities, has basically decreased also, like chromium, chrome ore, steel has decreased as well. You know, the world market.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those are the two core reasons. Commodity prices, so Turkish exporters not exporting, and steel as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no further questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Dear speakers, we have no further questions.
Since there are no further questions, we'd like to close the call. Thank you all very much for attending this session, and we hope to talk to you next quarter with equally well results. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.